I've sat here and I've prepared this, I've prayed about it, I've spent ages doing, you know, and I've really prayed that this is God's word. And actually, I've sat here listening to what everybody else has said, and it fits in so much with what I've got to say, which is great. So, it's a short talk, and it's part of the series on how the early church ensured that Jesus was the centre of all that they did. It's called Jesus and the Early Church, Switched On by Prayer, Worship, and Joyfulness of Spirit. So we're going to start by looking at what the Bible says about the early church and how they lived. So they were a group of Jews, mainly, to start with. They were brought up in the Jewish tradition, but they spent 3 years with Jesus, now suddenly left without him, though soon to have the Holy Spirit. They were living under Roman rule, and they were being persecuted for their faith. Here was a church that really needed to totally rely on God. Prayer for the early church wasn't optional. For them it was essential. In Acts, there are at least 30 references to prayer, more than any other book in the New Testament. It provides us with a vital history of the role prayer played in the lives of the early disciples. In Acts 1, verse 14, it says, they joined together constantly in prayer. Prayer was a primary activity for them. It was the first thing they chose to do when Jesus ascended into heaven. Acts 2, verse 42 and 47 says, they were continually and faithfully devoting themselves to the instruction of the apostles and to fellowship, to eating meals together and to prayers. They were continually filled with praises to God, enjoying the favour of all people, and the Lord kept adding to their numbers daily those who were coming to life. That is those who were saved. The early church was consistently meeting to pray, worship, and fellowship together. We can see through the book of Acts that in almost every situation, prayer preceded powerful works. Prayer preceded the filling of the Holy Spirit in Acts 4, verse 31. It says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were meeting together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak the word of God with boldness and courage. The Greek word for boldness and courage is actually parousia. And parousia means speaking with unrestrained boldness, with no restraint, flowing out of a heart of frankness, confidence, and honesty. Speaking directly into the heart of another in truth. That's what being bold and courageous means. Something God's told us to do a lot lately. With the help of the Holy Spirit, it is possible. The early church prayers also preceded miraculous healings and dramatic rescues, which is what happened with Paul and Silas in Acts 16, verse 25, where having been imprisoned for their faith, Paul and Silas undauntedly prayed in the middle of the night and sang songs and praises to God, whilst all the other prisoners listened to the worship. Suddenly, a great earthquake shook the foundations of the prison. All at once, every prison door flung open and the chains of the prisoners came loose. Despite Paul and Silas's situation, they chose to pray. They chose to worship. Their eyes were on God, not their circumstances. God miraculously answered their prayers. And not just them, but the other prisoners too, who were just listening. For the early church, prayer was a spiritual habit, a regular practice. They didn't let distractions stop them praying. They didn't let unanswered prayers discourage them either. They prayed for Peter to be saved from Herod, executing him, and he was. We can assume that they prayed for James, the brother of John, to be saved too, but Herod killed him. They didn't just pray in the temple, but wherever they were. In Acts 10:9, it talks about Peter going to the top of a house to pray. They didn't just pray at specific times, but they chose to continually communicate with God. As Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
So as we see with Paul and Silas in prison, they prayed for their needs, but they also worshipped God. Prayer and worship are linked together. They flow out of each other, both communing with God. So worship. What did Jesus say about worship? John 4, verse 23 and 4. When Jesus is speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well, he says, "But time is coming, and is already here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit, from the heart, and in truth. For the Father seeks such people to be his worshippers. God is spirit, the source of life, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." So what's important to God is our attitude of heart. It's not where we worship that's important, but whether our worship is genuine and true. Putting God first, worshipping him above all other things. As the first commandment, the Shema says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul." Rely on him. Don't rely on your money. Don't rely on the health service. Don't rely on the benefit system, on your job, on your home, on your possessions. It's because it's him that's given that all to you in the first place. Put him above everything. Put him above your family, your husband. Love him before your children. Love him before yourself. I was actually challenged to think about that. When I thought, do I choose comfort, my own comfort, over honouring and worshipping God? Do I shy away from sharing God with non-Christians? Do I honour God and worship him and share him? Or do I keep quiet because that's more comfortable for me? I had to repent of that because I had done that. And I need to work on that. God tells us to worship him. As Dawn said a few weeks ago, we're made to worship him. It's not about our feelings. We might not always feel like worshipping. I've heard it quoted that it's hypocritical to worship God if you don't feel like it. But worship to God is not about you or me. It's about God, the great I am. God tells us to worship him like he tells us to love and he tells us to forgive. They're acts of obedience, a choice that we make because we love God. It's not always easy, especially if things are not going well in your life. Hebrews 13, verse 15 calls it a sacrifice of praise. It says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise." There's a real blessing in praying and praising God through difficult times. Andrew talked a few weeks ago about joy, and that feeling and knowledge of joy and hope and peace that only God can give you despite your circumstances. Because when we do lift our eyes to him, rather than our own circumstances, he will and he does meet us. And when we do, he changes us. He fills us with his spirit. He fills us with joy. He changes situations. He answers prayers. He transforms our minds. We've already said it this morning, Romans 12. He changes our thinking. We begin to see things from God's perspective, not our own. We come to God in prayer and worship because he desires our company, because he loves to communicate with us. He deserves our praise. And in turn, he blesses us in more than we could ask or imagine. Said it was short. Whilst studying this and thinking about it, put it all together, I began to think about my prayer life. How do I worship God? How does that compare to the early church and what God wants for me? Do I come to God with the right attitude of prayer and worship? Do I always put God first? How do I worship God? When and how do I pray? What stops me from praying and worshipping like the early church? Have I been discouraged by unanswered prayers? Do I get distracted or too busy to pray? Have I become too comfortable with my prayers and worship to God? How about you?